Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC, New York Public Radio, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. This podcast is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC podcasts are supported by Holy Name Hospital in Teaneck, New Jersey, providing comprehensive centers in cardiovascular services, interventional radiology, and cancer care. More information at www.holyname.org.
Now you got me dangling in air like constellations.
You see, this planet ain't so spacious to show you just how I feel.
Looks like you've been kissed by Ryan, and that's for real.
That's for real. It was you and I versus all. Stargazing, long walks.
You're listening to Soundcheck at 93.9 WNYC and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Soul music is back. After its heyday in the 60s and the neo-soul movement of the 90s, electronica and edgy sounds have been used to form a new 21st century soul music. And in the way that Philly was the spiritual center of the movement a decade ago, now it's the largely white liberal haven of Santa Monica, California, that has become the heart of the new soul music. Santa Monica? Well, here to tell us how that happened is Siddhartha Mitter, who wrote about this phenomenon in this Sunday's Boston Globe. Siddhartha, welcome to Soundcheck.
Nice to be here, John. Thank you.
So Santa Monica, perhaps the last place you would expect to find a booming soul music scene. How did this happen?
Well, the fair way to put it is that Los Angeles has become the center of the new sort of 21st century soul music. And the fact that it's Santa Monica really stems from one particular venue called Temple Bar, which has become a very important spot in Los Angeles cultural life for the past 5 or 6 years. And it has become the crossroads, the crossing point for what I would say is really the most dynamic new soul music movement out there right now, as well as progressive programming and world music and hip-hop and other things like that. And it's significant in a way that it's in Santa Monica as opposed to, you know, hard partying, rocking Hollywood or Keep It Real, you know, Compton or something like that, because it's a little bit off the beaten track. And in a way, when a celebrity, for example, Michelle Indeggio-Cello or Prince, who turns up at Temple Bar a lot, when people like that go out of their way to a place like Santa Monica, it's a sign that something really is going on.
All right. So there's a venue, but there also must be a kind of critical mass of both musicians and listeners who find this stuff appealing and who are willing to follow Prince and Michelle and alphabets.
Indeggio-Cello.
Yeah, into the, you know, this off-the-beaten-track place.
You know, something very exciting is happening in Los Angeles right now. We know that different moments in the history of soul music, or any music for that matter, have been associated with a particular city. So, you know, Detroit and Motown,
right,
and so forth. And you look at Philadelphia and the neo-soul movement, which is probably the best sort of comparator to what's going on right now. Not all neo-soul took place in Philadelphia. You know, Erykah Badu was from Dallas and so forth. But Philadelphia really became the hub, the creative center, the place where the ideas were formed and exchanged. And thanks to some venues and thanks to some seminal kind of collectives like the Roots and OK Player and all of that. That same role is being played now by Los Angeles. The most interesting soul music today, progressive soul music that is really honestly true to its soul music, black music roots, but is not nostalgic in the least. It's electronic. It's really future forward. You feel a propulsion into the future with it. And a lot of experimentation, that's really happening in Los Angeles.
All right. Well, we actually began with Sa-Ra Creative Partners, who are a big part of this scene.
They are a big part of the scene. They are one of the first of many groups that have been revealed at Temple Bar and associated venues in Los Angeles. And they are also pretty much the only ones who have a record deal that they're happy with. They recently got on with Kanye West's Good Music label.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other artists in the soul music scene in Los Angeles, and this is very important, are absolutely independent. Either they don't have a record deal, or they had one and they walked away from a bad one. and they are using technology to the fullest, not only home studios and all the kind of accessible equipment that you have right now that you can for beat making and all the rest of it, but also for cutting their own CDs in their garages and doing independent online retail and really creating a whole new career model, a whole new business model for soul musicians.
All right, but this group, Sahra Creative Partners, is the exception. They have a good... literally a good record deal with good music with Kanye West's label.
In a way, they are the first kind of culmination. They are the first recognition by the major labels. And Kanye West, who's got an eye for or an ear for new stuff, is definitely to be thanked for that.
All right, this is a song called Rosebuds from this L.A.-based soul group called Sahra Creative Partners. Sahra Creative Partners, the song Rosebuds. My guest Siddhartha Mitter wrote about the fast-growing soul music scene in L.A. and specifically in Santa Monica in California. This week, Kim Hill, formerly of the Black Eyed Peas, was here in New York.
At Joe's Pub a couple nights ago.
Right.
I was pleased to be there.
So, but she also is part of this Temple Bar scene there in Santa Monica.
She is. She was with the Black Eyed Peas just before they made their kind of big pop turn, and she left with creative differences, and she's gone off in a completely different direction. Kim Hill is somebody who has managed to sell about 30,000 copies of her own self-produced album, out of her garage at concerts and so forth. She's got a new one coming out later this year called Pharaoh's Daughter. She's a really brilliant, charismatic musician who is really walking to the beat of her own drummer. That's really what these musicians are up to.
Well, now, she was here in New York, but aside from things like that, people from there coming here, it seems like New York isn't on this particular musical map yet. Why is that?
New York is not a center of this musical map. No, there are some bands in New York that have a little bit of kind of familial kindredness with this, like Kudu maybe is an example that plays at New Blue a lot on Avenue C. But primarily, this is a West Coast sound or a sound from sort of out there in America. And one reason is that there's a lot of space to work in a place like Los Angeles. And this is a really libertarian movement. This is very atomized. Artists are collaborating in the new ways. They're working home studio to home studio. They're using the internet. And they're not crowded up against each other in a cliquish scene. There's a lot of mutual respect. And so it's not really a movement in the old-fashioned style of it. It's something very 21st century and very kind of technology-savvy and future-oriented.
All right. My guest is Siddhartha Mitter, whose article on the L.A. soul scene is in this Sunday's Boston Globe. You seemed, from the article, to be particularly excited about a female duo called Jay Davey.
It's a male-female duo, and he plays the keyboards and he programs some very, very adventurous electronic music. And she sings, and they have got, really, I would say, they have got one of the most interesting sounds in any genre at all right now. They are fit to burst right now. They've been moving very slowly. They've got their own 10-track demo album. They're not signed to anybody yet, and they might take their time. But their underground buzz is intense from here all the way to London. Their music is woozy, sexy, adventurous. It's like early Prince transported to some point future ahead of our time.
This is a song called Private Parts from Jay Davey.
Yeah.
listening to some 21st century soul music with Siddhartha Mitter, who has written about this phenomenon in L.A. for the Boston Globe and is with us in our New York studio. So that's Jay Davey, Private Parts. How is this different? I mean, you know, there's the kind of soul harmonies and stuff, but there's also the electronica, the kind of hip-hop sound. Mm-hmm. How is this different from, say, Jill Scott, whom we're hearing in the background, in 90s neo-soul?
Neo-soul was a very important movement because it was really responding to kind of a crisis in soul music, a creative crisis brought about by the hegemony of hip-hop and artists who were very influenced by hip-hop but at the same time didn't know where they were going to go with soul music as a response to it. So neo-soul was about bringing back live instrumentation. It was about bringing back the band. And values-wise, lyrical values-wise, it was about reassertion, conscious, progressive, pro-black, womanist, kind of community kinds of values. In a way, you know, that was 10 years ago. Erykah Badu's first album, D'Angelo's first album was 10 years ago. So calling it neo-soul is becoming a little bit obsolete. And it petered out actually pretty quickly. What's happening now is that all of those values, the band is back, conscious themes are back, that's been internalized and accepted. That chip is no longer on the shoulder of soul music. And so what the new 21st century soul musicians are doing is they're going back to electronica. They're going back to bringing in guitar licks. They're going back to references. You know what it's like, John? It's like that blessed period in the early to mid 80s when electronica and hip hop and soul and new wave and even
right.
punk were all in a creative conversation with each other and producing bands like, you know, from Kraftwerk to Lisa Lisa and Kulchan, you know?
And you had people like Afrika Bambaataa
absolutely.
Doing duets with Johnny Lydon, formerly
absolutely.
Johnny Rotten. So.
You know, Jay Davey sometimes refer to themselves, they call themselves the Black Eurythmics. And they're doing soul music. And that kind of creative conversation is happening right now again, only it's with so much more technological possibility, with sampling, with people playing their own songs live while remixing them at the same time on stage.
Right, so the band is back, and with it a lot of the kind of old-school soul thing. Now, here in New York, we do have phenomena like Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings. So it appears that 21st century soul is both looking forward and, as in the case of this Sharon Jones piece we're hearing in the background, looking back to James Brown and beyond.
Yeah, you know, in the course of writing and reporting about soul music, I always run into this kind of shibboleth out there that, oh, good soul and R&B is dead. Just listen to what's on the radio. It's really terrible. And you hear that from listeners. You actually hear that a lot from critics, I have to say. And so there's this critical thinking that, well, progressive soul music isn't really happening. Therefore, we should go back. And the idea of going back is fueled in part by something very good, which is all the CD reissues of obscure catalogs, which is a wonderful thing. But bands are being formed now that are basically playing music that I could go back to my vinyl collection and listen to. So when I hear Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and when I see them in concert, as I have done, I love the musicianship. It's impeccable. But there's something kind of retrograde, even reactionary, about not so much what they're doing, but what people are saying about they're doing. Because when people say, oh, we need to go back to the old music, when the critical establishment says that, especially the white critical establishment, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, mm-hmm. and people forget about the fact that there is fantastic, progressive, future-forward soul music going on out there in L.A. and elsewhere.
All right, so the progressive stuff is happening in L.A. You mentioned New York not on this particular musical map yet, and so we have Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings who are doing a literal 21st century soul music, but not in the sense that you mean it, not in the sense that it's happening out in the scene there in L.A.
Now, that's right.
Siddhartha Mitter, you mentioned that these people, most of them, do not have standard record contracts. It's all done very DIY, out of the garage. Is this a viable business model for these people? Are they getting airplay? Do they have a future as professional musicians?
That is a fascinating question, and that is really the key question that I took with me as I was interviewing them, because there's a real new career model taking place here. And what's fascinating about it, people said to me, isn't it weird that this really, really independent music is being made of all places in Los Angeles, which is the center of, you know, payola and the entertainment industry. And when you see how these artists are living, you understand that that's not a paradox, because many of them, Cy Smith, for example, who's a wonderful, wonderful singer, you know, moonlights as a backup singer on American Idol. She does songs for video music, for video games. People are session musicians. People do, you know, all kinds of freelance contract work for the music industry. And that gives them the money to live and to make their own music on a very, very independent basis. As Kim Hill told me, she said, you know, I was able to buy a house. She lives in South Central, so it's mm-hmm. nothing. She said Kim Hill mows her own grass. And she said, I'm able to eat Ethiopian food or sushi a couple times a week. In other words, people are making basic middle-class livings, and they're very happy that they haven't sacrificed any kind of artistic integrity for it.
All right, we've been talking about the surprising birth or rebirth of soul in L.A. with writer Siddhartha Mitter. His article on the piece is in this past Sunday's edition of the Boston Globe. He's joined us here on Soundcheck. Siddhartha, great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, John. The article is also online at boston.com.
All right.
And at my own site, siddharthamitter.com.
And Jay Davey in the background as we wrap up this segment. In a moment, avant-garde vocalist Theo Bleckman performs songs from his new album, Built of Show Tunes, Made Famous in Las Vegas. And later, choreographer Pascal Rieu discusses his new work set to a jazzy treatment of Mozart. This is Soundcheck.
Girl, you can be my everyday to a good man. Oh, baby, there ain't no words for it. Everything I have in store, you got me sitting in the palm of your hand, baby. And I don't think you understand, baby.
Thanks for listening to Soundcheck from WNYC, New York Public Radio. Every day we dig into what's happening in music, and you can hear everything we do and check out our other podcasts at WNYC.org or on iTunes. All of this is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.